All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Good evening, you're listening to American Vindicta. I am your host, Douglas Thornton. We are on episode 98, coming to the cusp of that 100th anniversary, I guess you would say, of the show. And I have something good planned for y'all. I think you'll enjoy it. But today's date is Monday. It's April 11th, 2022. We are going to be continuing with the America's Most Unexplained series. And with that, the installment today of the 9th edition of our UFO special. Today's topic, cattle mutilations. Before we get on to today's topic, I would like to say that you can listen to the American Vindicta Show on gsradio.net. Also, we are on KYH Radio, that's the 540 AM station, and that is displaying around 4 to 5 PM Mountain Time. You can also find this show on YouTube and on Rumble. We have been having a little bit of problems with uploading some of our recent videos onto Rumble. I don't know what that is. I'll have to contact them. But YouTube, if they're not censoring me, seems to be uploading fine. So you can catch a lot of these videos on YouTube and Rumble. The entire UFO specials will be on there. And today you're going to want to watch this one. We're going to load today's radio show onto the YouTube. And we're going to be displaying a lot of pictures, a lot of photographic evidence for you in terms of cattle mutilation. And to even go into the extent of my own strange, bizarre account of cattle mutilation. Based off my own experience with this topic, I am aware of the many theories that are out there between secret government special access projects that are involving craft with cloaking technology and the ability to use whatever means to harvest the animal and then exsanguinate it, which means to take all the blood out of the animal, and then the precise machine-like cuts around all soft tissue areas and also extraction of organs, extraction of sexual organs, or sometimes the extraction of unborn cattle. We come across many different camps with this. Is it the diabolical means of a secret U.S. government, project? Is it aliens? Is it UFOs? Is it chupacabra? Or is it some other paranormal situation that we just don't have a firm grasp on? To the extent that the FBI has been involved in this, in and out, I wouldn't say they exactly threw down as much of their investigative processes as they could. But we have to consider something. It is a real phenomenon. Local law enforcement, game wardens, Cattlemen's Association of America, and others, to include the victims of the cattle mutilations, will all tell you that what they observe is not normal, it induces fear, and it is a repeating cycle within areas, sometimes not always with the same victims, but cycling throughout areas, especially throughout the cattleman country of America, especially from Texas all the way to Montana and westward from New Mexico all the way up into as recent as 2019 in Oregon. And we will go over those cases. Now, I don't have any definitive answers for you. I know that some of the other options that are out there are occultic rituals. I can very easily blame many of the things that I have seen that I've researched so far on cults. Cults do, they do take blood and they do take organs and they do their little rituals with them. However, the ability to take down a 2,000-pound animal, broad daylight, and then take the organs, and not to mention, most of the time with a lot of these ranches, you are trespassing for many acres sometimes to get into that ranch. You know, how did you get in there? How did you get out with all of that? You know, I know that being a part of a cattle family, my own grandfather has had his own problems with people who would, you know, take down cows and they would butcher them and then they would leave with parts of the carcass. But it's always very sloppy and it always looks like somebody butchered the cow. It's never that precision like what I'm talking about. And I've seen it. I've been right there next to a young bull calf, probably about, 700 pounds at least. And I have seen the cuts. And, you know, call me crazy if you want. I don't care. Watch the video and I'll show you the proof of what I'm talking about. It was missing the ear. It was missing the sexual reproductive organs. And it was exsanguinated. We even had a carcass evaluation done by a local cattle veterinary specialist. And he told us that there are possible ways with pneumatic pumps that you could pump the blood out of the cow, but you know that means you had to have more than likely darted the cow with a tranquilizer, or you had to poison the cow, and from there you can exsanguinate it after the cow is obviously dead. And if you work fast, I guess you can get done what you need to, but it was done in broad daylight and within earshot and within eyesight of multiple families. And these occurrences happen. If you look at the Sherman family from the Skinwalker Ranch, they are some of the most well-known victims of cattle mutilations, and it is bizarre and it's very malicious. There's nothing about the cattle or about the cattle mutilations that I would say is not malicious, not prone to inducing some sort of a fear. Because if someone is able to, let's say, pounce upon a 1,000 to 2,000 pound animal, render it all the way down to the ground, kill it, dismember it, very, very specifically dismember it, and then to leave without a trace, well, what can they do to you and your young children? So, you know, as you know, ranchers and farmers, those are the questions that we have. And I have many questions about this. When Tim Alberino and I recently interviewed over this topic, Mr. Alberino's hypothesis is that he blames the gray aliens for this. He claims that the Greys have a technology for cloaking with their flying craft, which Bob Lazar also talked about, and that their craft has the ability to displace time. Now, however it is, they use a tractor beam or cables or whatever it is that they use to get the cow into the craft. Mr. Alberino's hypothesis is that their craft can displace time. So what appears to be, you know, a matter of seconds outside of the craft can be between 10 and 20 minutes inside of the craft. Now, once again, these are, best guess hypothesis here. So we can't exactly prove what we say. But there are some sorts of relative information out there that could back that up. I don't believe the U.S. government has possession of technology for that. I'm not saying we don't have craft. We do. We have. I don't think it does what we see in the sky. The zipping back and forth, I don't think we have that technology. That's just my personal belief. And on the other part, you have to ask the question, if it is the government doing it, then why capture cattle or horses or sometimes dogs or chickens or poultry or sheep? Why? Why is it that the government would need to use this stealth technology just to perform very, I want to say, basic field-evaluated style of surgeries? It doesn't make sense to me because I don't understand what it is that they're trying to harness unless they're just practicing. Right? Unless they're just practicing and it's helping to scare the hell out of everybody. And if they get caught, well, they can blame aliens because, hey, it's cattle mutilations, right? So these are my questions. These are the truths that I'm looking for. Someone who is a victim of this type of incident, it does spike my interest. And I will say this, not this week, but next week, we are going to break down Skinwalker Ranch, and it's going to be creepy. I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to get really creepy. I'm going to talk about every scary story I can find about that ranch, to include things from the law enforcement field, things from government projects, and there's some few others out there, not to mention some First Nations people stories of Skinwalker Ranch, and also the very famous NIDS research team from Bob Bigelow. So stay tuned for that one. Thursday, we're going to have Mr. L.A. Marzulli on, and we're going to see just how deep we can get into a conversation about UFOs, about abductees, about the craft. We'll see what he feels like disclosing to us, and I'm going to pry that that Titan jar of his open, because he has done his research, his due diligence, and he has interviewed people that are abductees. And I feel that that is part of this phenomena that we need to talk about more, because it is a relative subject on this topic. As of right now, we're going to go to a break. We'll see you on the other side.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com, for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Welcome back. This is American Vindicta. We are talking about America's Most Unexplained series. We're still within the subject of UFOs, and today we are talking about cattle mutilations. I have an article pulled up from the historychannel.com. It's a very good, well-wrote article, and it's from Adam Janus, and it was produced April 27, 2021, so it has relevancy here. It's titled The Mysterious History of Cattle Mutilations. Now, the bovine corpses that stunned the ranchers who found them, the animals, ears, eyes, udders, the anuses, the sex organs, and tongues had routinely been removed, seemingly with a sharp, clean instrument. Their carcasses had been drained of blood. No tracks or footprints were found in the immediate vicinity, nor were any of the usual opportunistic scavengers. Between April and October of 1975, nearly 200 cases of cattle mutilation were reported in the state of Colorado alone. Far from being tabloid fodder, it had become a nationally recognized issue. That year, the Colorado Associated Press voted it the state's number one story. Colorado's then Senator Floyd Haskell asked the Federal Bureau of Investigation to get involved. Throughout the 1970s, cases had continued to mount throughout the American heartland. And in 1979, after thousands of reported cattle mutilations causing millions of dollars of livestock losses, the FBI finally opened an investigation into a series of cases that had reportedly taken place on New Mexico's Indian lands. Pressure came in part, from a heated public symposium on this subject that had been convened by the state's science-minded U.S. Senator Harrison Schmitt, who had a Ph.D. in geology from Harvard and had walked on the moon as an Apollo 17 astronaut. Ultimately, the FBI's inquiry poured cold water on the idea that something strange was afoot. On January 15, 1980, the Bureau closed the investigation, putting out a statement saying that none of the reported cases has involved what appear to be mutilations by other than common predators. Locals would sharply disagree. I've been around cattle all my life, and I can sure tell whether it's been done by a coyote or a sharp instrument, says Sheriff George A. Yarnell of Elbert County, a rural area south of Denver, as he was speaking with the New York Times in the fall of 1975. The theories range from satanic cults to UFOs. Mysterious livestock mutilations weren't confined to the 1970s or to the United States. Similar cases involving sheep, cows, or horses have been reported as far back as the early 17th century and as recently as 2019. The 70s cases, however, brought the most widespread attention. Broadly speaking, the debate about the cattle mutilations falls into two camps. Those who see the mutilations as unexplained phenomena, and those who see them as normal cattle deaths repackaged as something mysterious or paranormal. For those in the unexplained camp, the opinions have diverged about the possible explanation. Some law enforcement communities opined that the animals were being mutilated by people in strange, quasi-religious rituals. In the 1980s, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police blamed the mutilations on an unidentified cult. The Department of Criminal Investigations in Iowa, meanwhile, asserted that the mutilations were being conducted by Satanists. Reports within the affected ranching communities indicated that the mutilations regularly coincided with the sighting of mysterious unmarked helicopters. Some ranchers who suffered the worst losses believed the federal government had performed the mutilations for an assortment of reasons, including the testing of biological weaponry. Animosity for the government proved so heated that the Nebraska National Guard ordered their helicopters to cruise at 2,000 feet rather than the regular 1,000-foot altitude for their safety, since panicky ranchers had begun shooting at the helicopters. Others have blamed unidentified earthbound creatures. At Skinwalker Ranch, a property in northeastern Utah, whose numerous paranormal activities were the subject of the book Hunt for the Skinwalker, Science Confronts the Unexplained at a Remote Ranch in Utah. Rancher Terry Sherman has lost several heads of cattle to mutilation after buying the 512-acre property in 1996. Those mutilations coincided with several strange encounters, and one, Sherman saw a wolf-like creature three times the size of a normal wolf that was impervious to rifle fire. In other words, a bulletproof wolf. In another, a researcher saw an odd humanoid creature with piercing yellow eyes spying on him from a tree. Other cases have happened since on the property. Still others tie the mutilations to possible extraterrestrial visitors, filmmaker, science reporter, and Stanford-educated author Linda Moulton Howe has looked at more than 1,000 animal mutilations in their cases, winning an Emmy Award for those efforts with her 1980 documentary, A Strange Harvest. In her 1989 follow-up book, An Alien Harvest, the further evidence linking animal mutilations and human abductions to alien life forms, Ms. Howe ultimately concluded, after researching hundreds of cases, that extraterrestrials were likely involved. One particularly compelling case linking animal mutilation and aliens involved a horse found dead at and partially skinned at a ranch in Alamosa, Colorado in September of 1967. Within 24 hours of the incident, in which the animal's brain, lungs, heart, and thyroid were cleanly cut out, local Superior Court Judge Charles Bennett witnessed three orange rings in the sky, flying in triangular formation at incredible speeds. Two sheriff's deputies, meanwhile, reported being followed around by a floating orange orb. Skepticism is within the veterinary world. Now, some medical experts offer much more mundane explanations for the animal mutilations. Veterinary pathologists point to the fact that scavengers tend to eat the soft tissue of a dead animal first, which might explain the missing external organs commonly described on the dead bovine. Bloodlessness, meanwhile, might be attributed to livor mortis. When an animal dies, the heart stops and the blood stops circulating, thus settling the blood via gravity, creating a bloodless effect in some surface parts of a carcass. In Washington County, Arkansas, in 1979, the Sheriff's Department conducted an experiment. It placed a dead cow in a field for 48 hours and found it looked a lot like the ostensibly mutilated ones. Bacterial bloating had caused its skin to tear in an incision-like manner similar to what had been described in some ranchers' reports. Maggots and blowflies, however, cleaned out the animal's organs. Agricultural historian Michael Goldman theorizes that The 1970s reports of cattle mutilation likely provided a way for independent, small-scale ranchers to express both their economic anxiety and their resentment for government interference in agricultural life. According to Goldman, unexplained cattle death has always been a part of ranching. Cattle deaths were no higher year to year during the time of the reported mutilations than before or after. But most mutilation reports emerged at a time when the cattle industry was reeling. In the 1970s, the U.S. government sent a lot of grain to food insecure nations, driving up the domestic price of cattle feed. At the same time, President Richard Nixon intermittently froze the price of beef and other meat domestically to combat inflation. Cattle ranchers found themselves in a squeeze, and in a 1975 Senate Agricultural Committee hearing, the president of the American National Cattlemen's Association said the industry had suffered operating losses of $5 billion, plus a reduction in inventory value of $20 billion. As evidence for his argument, Goldman points out that the alleged 1970s mutilations occurred most frequently in states like Colorado and New Mexico, which had a higher percentage of small ranches most vulnerable to those government policies. Texas, meanwhile, reported considerably less of the phenomena, despite having by far the most cattle in the country. Because the mutilations were concentrated both geographically and over time, Goldman says paranormal activity seems a less likely explanation than a case of mass hysteria. And that's the end of the article. Now, I don't agree exactly with this article, and I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't believe what we're seeing are cattlemen who are butchering their own cows due to this mass hysteria of the government freezing the cost of beef, or that is in some way endangering the feeding of their cattle by sending grain elsewhere out of the country. These cows will bring in, a full-grown cow will bring in anywhere between $4,000 to $6,000 on average, and some cows go for much more. So being that you literally have to live with the herd and you have to take care of these animals 24/7, why would somebody kill these cows and take such time out of their day to butcher one of these cows, then just to call in the authorities to say, hey, look what happened, look what I found, explain this to me? If it was a means of protest, I think we would be seeing more of it. But once again, what the explanation that we heard there at the end, that is a common explanation given to you by the government. Here's another one, that it was predation. Whenever we had our cattle mutilation incident here, I called up the local sheriff's department so that they could come out, so they could document it. I don't need them to tell me what happened. I just needed them to document it. Well, they sent a detective out. And this guy was about, I don't know, he had to have at least been on the force for at least 10 years or more. So he wasn't exactly a rookie. But his explanation that he gave me baffled me. He looked at this 700-pound steer, where it had died, and it was left where it was. And being someone who grew up tracking animals and learning how to track people, I did my best to give my space away from the dead animal. I looked for any sign of disturbance, any sign of tracks around the animal. I found nothing. When we were doing the carcass evaluation, I looked for any type of abrasions, lacerations, puncture wounds, any leakage of blood from any orifice. I didn't find anything. So I was baffled. But at the same time, I want someone else to, you know, with more particular knowledge in this, to explain it to me. And that was Doc. That was our veterinarian. And Doc told me the same thing. I have no idea what happened here. But being that we're both Christians, we both ask the same thing. Is this occultic? Is this natural? Or was this, as we both kind of looked upward, something else? Now, many times we don't want to admit what it was. But I'll tell you this much. That detective told me that he looked at that cow, didn't touch it, just looked at it, and said that was a gray fox. And I about smacked this guy. Because you don't come onto my own land and insult my intelligence. And this is what's funny, is this is the way that some people in law enforcement, some lay people, they do view these paranormal, mysterious incidents like that. They just give a brief explanation. They rat it away because they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to do any further research. They don't want to see if there's been any other cattle mutilations, missing cattle, injured cattle throughout the rest of the county, doing their own due diligence, which is what I would have done. I even contacted the Cattlemen's Association of America. I didn't even get a response back. I had to contact somebody within the state who would come out and who would investigate. And more or less, they told me that they were so busy, they didn't have the time. Now, there's no way a gray fox, something around the same size as a common house cat, would have taken down this animal. I can give it to you because the ear was missing. I can give it to you that something may have gnawed the ear off, but it did not look like anything was chewed. I grew up on a deer lease, so I understand what predation looks like, and I understand what I'm looking at with dead animals. I grew up hunting my entire life. I do understand what I'm looking at. And I also understand the phenomena. So as I'm piecing this all together in my head, I just had to sit there and ask, how many other people get the same bullshit answer that I just got? How many more cases are out there that we don't know of, that people, you know, are either just scared to ask the authorities or they're scared to be labeled as a crazy person and to hurt their business, so they just bury the cow or they burn the carcass? Here's another bizarre trait. If you study the Skinwalker Ranch incidents with cattle mutilation, and there are other incidents with cattle mutilations that will be the same as this, but sometimes it takes a very prolonged time for the cow to completely disintegrate. You know, that means natural predation, the breakdown of bacteria of the skin, of insects breaking down the carcass of the animal. There are videos of people, you know, that actually found these mutilated cattle, and then they put it on a camera and they, you know, record it for a series of months. And sometimes it looks like the cow is not properly breaking down the way nature is supposed to make it do it whenever it's dead. So there's more questions there. Here's another one. Many reports of the victims of the cattle mutilation, the ranchers, the farmers, will say that they smell a strange ozone smell around the cow, or they'll smell a strange medical sterilization smell around the carcass of the cow. Why is that? I don't know. I can tell you this much. From studying this thus far, I do lean more toward, and I will say this openly, I do lean more toward the abduction of the animal from a aerial craft. I don't know if it's UFOs. I don't know if it's the government. And to be honest with you, I don't care. The point of the matter is that it's malicious. The point of the matter is that it's costing thousands of dollars for people when they lose these animals. I would like to know, if I had a large ranch, much like what they did with Skinwalker Ranch, What I would tell you to do is if you have concerns about this, you should be putting dogs in with your cattle. You should be setting up a series of dogs throughout your ranch, throughout the ranging areas, the sections that the cows will be foraging in. And what they are called is biosensors. So at night, not only are they barking at the coyotes and the bobcats and other predatory animals, but they're also barking at things that you don't see. And for me, it's the ability to put a alarming device way away from me. You can't always count on electronics, but you can typically count on a dog. Dogs will bark at almost anything, and I would rather hear a dog bark all night long, and I get up and I see that dog barking and signaling and me seeing something than nothing and me getting up the next day and finding a dead cow with just more questions now. Another thing that you can be doing, you can be setting up trail cameras. There are trail cameras like the ones that I have that have a cellular signal to them, cost about $10 a month. You can have up to, I think it's like 1,000 photos saved onto that trail camera a month. And that's a good way for you to get instant feedback of animal movement. Now, another thing that you can be doing is you can also be putting any type of digital video cameras installed on tall poles in your backyard and recording them on a DVR. And then going back, and if there's ever an incident, well, just review the video. Or if you're ever bored and you just feel weird about whatever it is that's outside, review the footage. You may be catching something that you don't know. These are options that are out there for you. The only other thing that I would have for you is you have to be more physically there with the animals. And that's hard. You know, I understand that. You got to go to the bathroom. You got to go eat. You got to sleep. You know, sometimes, like in Texas, when it's 115 degrees outside, you don't want to be out there, especially on top of a horse. Or like me, because I screw riding a horse all day long, I have a side-by-side, an ATV. You know, for me, I would tell you that if it ever got to where my cattle started to be affected by this, I'm camping out with the herd. Period. That's also why I have a small FLIR Scout thermal imaging camera that can take pictures on it. Because, you know, night vision's expensive, but the FLIR Scout's not. The FLIR Scout's about $500 to $600. And it's the base model, but it still does pretty good for what you need. And once again, the ability to take pictures, that's a good thing too for video evidence. And, you know, you just have to be creative with this situation. I think it's funny when people say, oh, cattle mutilations, you're one of those crazies. Well, if the crazies are to the extent that even the Senate, Congress, had to have an emergency meeting with the Cattlemen's Association of America in the 1970s because it became such an epidemic of cattle mutilations, and the FBI had to get involved, even if the FBI closed the case, and who knows why they closed the case, you know, I would say that that gives merit to the emergency of the situation. Here's another thing from the aspect of someone who's prior law enforcement. You don't want to appear crazy to your superiors or to the other patrolman. You know, if you go on one of these cases where people say they've seen ghosts, they've seen the red-eyed demon dogs that are running around, or Bigfoot, or aliens, zombies, you know, chupacabra, strange, dark, shadowy things running back and forth in their home. All these paranormal cases that many of them are being given to you by eyewitness testimony. You know, I would always say, go and investigate it yourself. Don't brush it off. Because if you think for one second that your ego or your, I guess you could say, reputation is on the line because you went and you investigated somebody's problem. Well, that within itself is the problem. As law enforcement, we should be more than willing to go out to help people with these situations. Even if it is the normal crazy person that calls you every Friday at 9 o'clock at night to let you know whatever craziness it is that's coming out of their mouth. I've been there. I've dealt with those people. But you still do your due diligence because you just never know. You don't brush it off. That's like ignoring a bomb threat. Would you ignore a bomb threat? Would you ignore an active shooter threat? No, you wouldn't. You would act upon it in haste. You would act upon it in emergency. I think one thing that law enforcement should start arming themselves with are better cameras. In my honest opinion, and I don't know why it's not done, but if I was a sheriff or if I was a commander of a department somewhere, I would have my guys with a better, I guess you could say, observation recording device with a digital camera. So if there's ever something out there that is strange that needs to be photographed, you can't do it with your camera, with your body camera. You can do it with a good digital camera, though. And you don't need training for that. Here's one thing I also find that's funny. We get key witness testimony from people who are the victims of these cattle mutilations, be it however it is that happened, occultic, natural, whatever phenomena, aliens, the government, whatever. We take those people's, we take the reports, and then we don't take their testimony seriously. Because then we go to tell our superior, look at what this crazy person told me. Here's my, you know, here's my after action report of everything. And we say, oh, listen to this guy. He sounds crazy. I would never believe him. Okay. But you as a law enforcement officer, if you need to give your eyewitness testimony, it's given that your testimony is factual and accurate, especially in court, or given to another law enforcement officer with the effect of making arrests. So why is it that we are trusted as law enforcement officers with our word, but the general public who is the first responder, the initial victim, we second guess them? It's because there's an epidemic within the country to not believe the paranormal is possible. To not believe that there are things out there that we just don't know. We just can't explain away. You can't just pick up the Bible and say, here's all the answers, drop the Bible, walk away, case closed. That may do it for some people, but not everyone. And if you're a victim of one of these incidents, of the abduction, of the close encounters of the first kind, second kind, third kind, fourth kind, fifth kind, the cattle mutilation, the constant visitors within your house that you can't explain away, it doesn't do it for those people. That's why we must investigate this situation thoroughly and to its full extent. I think we have a big problem in this country, and we're going to talk about this eventually. But we have a big problem in this country with a certain type of belief on UFOs. That they are a deceptive creature or they are the saviors. We're going to cross those paths, those boundaries, because there are alien religions out there. And some of them disguise themselves as Christian religions, by the way. And I'm going to step on some toes for that one. We're going to go to a break real quick, though. We'll be right back.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
Welcome back. This is American Vindicta. I have an article I have pulled up from the dailyyonder.com, my kind of a redneck site. All right, this is wrote by Liz Carey, and the title is Alien Experiment, Violent Crime, or Natural Occurrence? Cattle Mutilations in the West Continue. Bizarre cases of the cattle being killed and left with body parts missing have been reported all over the American West since at least the 1970s. Ranchers grow weary of losses, while investigators still have to catch a single suspect. Since the beginning of 2021, cattle ranchers in Central Oregon's Crook County have found several cattle dead in the fields. But what makes those deaths so mysterious is the condition of their bodies. No blood, missing body parts, seemingly surgical incisions, and extraction of organs, excuse me, and genitalia. Cattle mutilations aren't new to Oregon or the West Coast, but at least one expert says that the mysterious deaths are caused by forces outside of our world. Theories about what is happening to the animals vary. Some say it's part of the natural decomposition process. Others blame scavengers and people working to hurt the ranchers by affecting their bottom line. One expert said the cattle mutilations are a result of some of out-of-this-world experimentation. Linda Moulton Howe, a journalist and paranormal investigator, has been investigating cattle mutilations since 1977. She believes the bloodless, trackless animal deaths are evidence that we are being visited by extraterrestrials. And to break out of the article, if you haven't seen any of her stuff, just go to YouTube, look up Linda Moulton Howe, LindaMoulton. Her last name is Howe, Howe. She has some extremely compelling videos. I can't explain them. Just watch them for yourself if you're interested in this topic. All right, now, Miss Linda says, I began investigating bloodless, trackless animal mutilations, domestic and wild, in Colorado in September 1979, when I was director of special projects at the CBS station KMGH-TV in Denver, Colorado. Law enforcement and ranchers saw strange glowing circular craft at night, extended beams down into their pastures where they would find a bloodless, mutilated animal after the sun came up. It was Sheriff Tex Graves of Logan County, Colorado, who told me in September 1979, the perpetrators of these animal mutilations are creatures from outer space. Howe said that again and again. She heard from law enforcement and other investigators that the attacks were preceded by lights in the sky, UFOs, unidentified flying objects. As part of her investigation, Howe discovered these kinds of cattle mutilations have gone on around the world for decades. She said, I quickly learned they were not confined to Colorado. I've been in almost every state in the United States and Canada. I talked with a producer at the BBC in London. They had found a journal that went back to 1904 in Australia where sheep were mutilated, Tongues gone, genitals gone, random organs removed, but no blood. In her book, Alien Harvest, Howe said incidents of cattle mutilation have been documented in every country except India. In Oregon, Crook County Undersheriff James Savage said his department is investigating the cattle mutilations. "Well, yeah, it makes us angry," he told the Northwest News Network. "It's upsetting because, again, it's our livelihood. It's how they make their money and how they feed their families and support themselves." Undersheriff Savage said it started with a cow found in late February on a remote private land. Since then, another six animals have turned up across the county with missing body parts. In most cases, the dead animal's sex organs, tongue, or eyes are cleanly removed from the body with surgical-like precision. However, law enforcement officers investigating the carcasses say the scenes appear to be bloodless. According to the Oregonian, detectives called large animal vet Taylor Carlin, who agreed that the deaths were unnatural. Her comments were included in a search warrant requested filed by detectives in the case to find cell phone activity near the incident sites. Calls to Crook County Sheriff's Detective Javier Sanchez, who is working the investigation, were not immediately returned. This isn't the first time ranchers in Oregon have reported cattle mutilations. In 2019, in Harnan County, five bulls were found dead with their sex organs and tongues removed. Cases have also been reported in Wasco, Umatilla, Wheeler, and Lake counties in recent years. Those reports mirror ones reported during a rash of cattle mutilations in the 1970s across the American West and Midwest. Sheriffs from the Oregon counties, where recent cattle mutilations have occurred, are working to coordinate and share information, says officials. If any criminal wrongdoing is found in the deaths of cattle, those responsible could face possible charges, ranging from criminal mischief, trespassing, to aggravated animal abuse. But some say these are all just natural deaths. Brian Dunning, host of the long-running podcast Skeptopod, said that these are typical cases of previous cattle mutilations attributed to aliens or satanic rituals. "All of the mysterious elements of the cattle corpses can be explained by science," he says. Quoting, "When an animal dies in the field, predation sets in very quickly, the first responders being insects and birds. The exposed soft tissue is always the first to go, eyes, lips, tongue, and genitals. As the animal is dead with zero blood pressure, there is no bleeding. The exposed skin dries and shrinks tight, giving the impressions of a perfect scalpel-like slice. Blowflies and other insects whose eggs can hatch in 10 hours fill the wounds with maggots, which can expose clean and dry bone in just a few hours more. During the height of the cattle mutilations craze in the 1970s, one sheriff decided to do his own research," said Dunning. "The whole alien autopsy and satanic panic currents in pop culture reached a high in the 1970s, and cattle mutilation was a headliner for both. There was a sheriff in Arkansas, Herb Marshall, who wanted to see for himself what was going on with all these reports, so we put a fresh cow carcass out in the field and they observed what happened. After 2 days, he'd not only seen the above bird and insects effects, but the stomach split open from the expanding gases and blowflies had completely cleaned out the internal organs. At that point, his department stopped searching for mythical Satan worshippers." In the 1970s, even the Federal Bureau of Investigation did research into cattle mutilations and came to the same conclusions. "What happened to the animal prior to being discovered in their mutilated state is a question for animal experts," he says. "The fact that the carcass's experience post-mortem predation doesn't necessarily tell us anything at all about the cause of death. Predation tends to happen no matter how the animal died. In most cases, a veterinarian should be able to determine a case of death quite easily with a necropsy. So far, in all the countless cases like this, none has ever been found to have an extraordinary or inexplicable cause of death. So, that's it for today for cattle mutilations. If you have any interesting topics on cattle mutilations, or if you were a victim of it yourself, please email me. You can go to the AmericanVindictaShow.com. We do have an emailing section. You can put everything in there, send it to me, I'll read it, and we'll correspond. I think this investigation needs to be ongoing. It shouldn't be stopped, and if the officials aren't going to take it seriously, then it's up to us to do our own due diligence. Ladies and gentlemen, my name's Doug Thornton. You've been listening to the American Vindicta Show. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned. We'll see you tomorrow. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.